This meeting is now being recorded.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Jurisdiction Subgroup Meeting Number 39, July 26, 2017, at 1900 UTC. I'm Greg Shatton, rapporteur for the subgroup. You have in front of us the agenda, so I've welcomed you all, and it brings us to item two, which is a review of the agenda. Any suggestions now for AOB will be entertained, but discussed at AOB, and we will also take suggestions for AOB at AOB time. After the administration minutes, we'll move on, briefly review the decisions and action items from our last call, then go over the subgroup timeline and our plan to produce documents and finish our work within the timeline of the CCWG. After that, and on item five, I'll ask Bernie to go over the overall timeline, as I believe he did at ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. On number six, we'll go over the list of proposed issues, which has grown incrementally since the last call, but not significantly. And we'll begin some substantive discussion of at least the first item or two on that list, however, not yet a discussion of the items relating to sanctions and OFAC, since I think we'll want to have both fair warning and possibly a special guest or two on the call for that. Following that, we'll see where we stand on our review of ICANN's litigations, and then do the same for the questionnaire response review, then come to AOB, and I'll ask now if there's anything that anyone would like to put into AOB at this point. Milton, I see your hand is up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm not really adding anything to AOB. I'm just confused about the agenda. So you've repeated here under decisions and action items the requesting ICANN Legal to present on OFAC. Is there any kind of time or meeting which you are asking them to do this, or is that going to be negotiated once you get them?
Thanks, Milton. I would say, generally speaking, as soon as possible, but we don't have a particular meeting identified yet as working for all. As soon as we do, we'll get that out to the group. So, hearing no... I see now Bernie has his hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, in response to Milton, I've spoken with ICANN Legal, provided yesterday, provided them with the dates of our meetings, expressed the need to have that discussion sooner rather than later. And we are waiting for a date, and I'm hoping to get that late this week or early next week. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Bernie. I think that brings us to the end of our agenda review, which brings us back to item three of our agenda. First, I will call for any changes in statements of interest. I see no hands, so I'll assume everyone has stayed put for the last week. Caboose, I see your hand is up. not hearing Caboose, perhaps his hand is up as an additional reminder that he seems to be waiting to be called. At the same time, I see a note from Brenda that Caboose has been called twice, and there was no answer. So I would suggest that perhaps Brenda and Caboose get together and confirm the phone number at which the dial-out is being placed. Hopefully we can solve that problem in relatively short order. In the meantime, I see David McCauley has his hand up. David, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley here for the record, and this can be quite brief. It's just going back to the previous subject for one brief addendum. When we go to ICANN Legal, and I guess that's going to be you or Bernie, but when that's done, I would suggest that we add on to the OFAC insights that they might offer a request that they comment on the governing law in registry and registrar agreements. It's listed on the issues list, the fact that there is no governing law called out, and I think it would be helpful. I have a comment to make when we get there, but I think it might be helpful to ask ICANN if they would comment on the background of that. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, David. That will be part of what we're, you know, definitely part of what we're asking ICANN to comment on, both the general and the specific with regard to OFAC. We were at item 3.2 in the agenda. I'm going to ask if there are any audio-only participants. Please speak up if you are. I don't hear any audio-only participants. I don't see any phone number-only participants who need to identify themselves. Caboose, are you with us on audio yet?
This is Brenda. Just to report
this
that.
Is Brenda. Just to report that. Caboose.
I wonder why I have an echo. One moment.
I wonder why I have an echo.
Go ahead, Brenda. The echo is my fault.
Oh, thank you, Greg. So I have called out to Caboose. I'm actually calling again for the third time. So, Caboose, if you can hear this conference, please know that we are calling you. If you want to email me a phone number other than the normal one, I'll be happy to dial it. Thank you.
And we'll hope for the best on getting Caboose dialed in. I will express my customary bemusement that the an organization that is intended to help develop policy and deal with the technology of the most advanced communications system in the history of mankind still has trouble with phones, but that is what it is. Going down our agenda, the decisions from last week, first one was to begin formal discussion of the issues list on the next call, which is this call, so we'll do that. Next, as previously hinted at, we have requested ICANN Legal. We would request and now have requested ICANN Legal to present on OFAC and the fact that there is and also on the unrelated to OFAC fact that there is no choice of jurisdiction in the registry or registrar contracts. That is, there is no choice of applicable law or venue in the standard registry and registrar contracts. So we hope to hear back from them. As noted in the chat, this is a follow-up to some written materials on this second point, but we do want to discuss it further. Next action item, to send an email to the questionnaire respondents to invite them to either respond to our analysis or come back on a call to do so. I now have all the materials I need to send those emails out, but due to the press of professional commitments, was not able to get that done today, but we'll do it this evening. And somehow we have the same action item listed in 422 as we have in 412, so ignore that. 4.3.1, the renewed request for the participants to include the issues they have or that they've identified on behalf of others, such as in a questionnaire analysis or a litigation analysis, for the list of proposed issues prior to this call. As noted before, this is not a deadline to get the issues on. There will be one, but not yet. Tiago, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Tiago speaking. Thank you, Greg. Quick question. May I ask you what exactly are we going to ask ICANN Legal in relation to OFAC sanctions? I might have missed that. You might have explained that already, but could you remind me what exactly we're going to ask them?
Thank you, Tiago. We have not yet developed a list of questions. I think we were going to ask them to speak generally with regard to OFAC sanctions, from just to give us some more information on OFAC sanctions, since not everyone in the group is fully informed on what they are and how they work. So the hope would be, and that would be from the ICANN point of view.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
So, you know, this would, and then also to talk about ICANN's views on OFAC and any of the specific issues that we've raised, such as the language in the RAA regarding the OFAC sanctions. And I expect that we will be talking to them about possible about general licenses under OFAC, which is a form of waiver. So we'll hope to have them on the call. Obviously, be better if we identify some specific questions for them to answer, so that they have the right people and the right information. But I also would expect that we would have live Q&A for that. Tiago, is that a new hand?
Just to comment quickly, I think during last call I suggested that we should perhaps ask as well external and independent legal opinion. And if I recall correctly, I think Farzani is in agreement with that. I don't know whether this is something that the group might consider undertaking, perhaps in addition to hearing what the views are from ICANN Legal. Perhaps we could also hear the views from external.
Why don't we revisit that question after we hear from ICANN, and we'll have to look at the possibility of doing that. Anything further on this item before we move along? Great. We will see once again if Caboose is with us yet.
Do you hear me? Hello?
Very well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good everything to everybody. I'm sorry, I lost which point you are discussing because I think somebody is rushing, saying that we have only 2 minutes to this. if we have a question and we are not clear, I don't think that we should talk about 2 minutes or 2 hours. We should really be clear what we're discussing. Are we discussing OFAC or we are discussing something else? I'm sorry to raise this because I was not connected. Yeah. Hello?
Thank you, Kavu. Hello? We were discussing the invitation to ICANN Legal to come talk to us about OFAC from the viewpoint of ICANN Legal and hopefully also get some somewhat of an overview. We're not having a discussion of OFAC in this group now. When we do have ICANN Legal here, then we will do so.
Yeah, okay. We would like to have a clear presentation of ICANN, how ICANN have implemented or has used or applied this OFAC. We would like to be very clear whether it is an instruction from a particular government or particular law, or that is understanding of some people in the ICANN saying that in their views, this is what they have to do. This is something that the community is not very clear. I'm not suggesting anything, opposing or defending anything. I just want to know that how ICANN has used up to now the OFAC that prevented to have any action with respect to the registrar or any application in the name of that OFAC does not allow them. What provisions of OFAC referring to the DNS, and what is the instruction from U.S. government, I'm sorry to name a government, U.S. government or NTIA to ICANN with respect to the application of OFAC. We need a description, not a presentation by verbal. We need to have a written document to see that when the U.S. government or NTIA instructed or advised or informed ICANN that ICANN must do this and must not do that. We would like to know all the history and records, how this has appeared, because as I mentioned, OFAC was created in 1948 for something else totally. They use it for the DNS. And I want to know what was the instruction or description or advice from the NTIA to ICANN with respect to the application of that and how ICANN has reacted. Did they reacted without any comment to NTIA saying, yes, what you say, you're right, or whether ICANN said something? And we would like to have the history of the situation in a written document available to everybody to see what was the situation. It is totally unclear. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavusa. Thank you for that suggestion. I think what we should do is have ICANN come speak to us, and then we'll see if the group still thinks, or if the group thinks that a written response or document is necessary. And if so, we'll ask for it at this time. I would just say generally that we'll try to form an email list of questions on OFAC so that we can have an organized session with ICANN when the time comes. So I think that now brings us to the subgroup timeline, item 5, and I will turn the microphone over to Bernie and also ask that Bernie put up the timeline slide, which you all should have received in the last hour or so, and should bring back memories of ICANN 59. Bernie, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. I'll wait for the upload to complete here. Thank you, Brenda. This is not new material. It's been presented at least at 2 plenaries and was presented again at ICANN 59, as Greg has noted. What this, to go over it again, is basically the two possibilities, either one public comment or two public comments, which are the two big horizontal lines on top, versus the various dates that we have. Overall, you will see that the closing date, as we announced in Johannesburg, is the end of June 2018. I mean, that is the reality. And as such, right now for this group, I think it's basically impossible to contemplate that we will be able to have two public consultations on any type of recommendations we make. So that would take us on a single public consultation timeline. And so that means that we would be on the top line. If we look at that, that means that we are looking at starting a public consultation sometime in November. Now, what I am pointing out here is that as we all know, we've gone through the timelines many numbers of times in the past. The group completes a document, it doesn't automatically go up for a public consultation. It has to go to the plenary for a first and second reading, and then staff has to prep the documents and all the supporting stuff around it, and then it gets published. So what we're talking about is to have that kind, to meet those kinds of deadlines, that we would need to have some sort of recommendations in the late October timeframe. So I'm just pointing this out because I'm unsure if that's going to go on or we can meet those kinds of deadlines. But if we want to, you know, we can decide to structure our work for that. I will note in closing that if we get to ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi and we do not have any kind of recommendations or are even close to any kinds of recommendations, I believe that the co-chairs are going to ask the questions of the plenary if it's worth continuing to work, given that we will not be able to produce recommendations in time to have a full public comment and then integrate those into the final report for Workstream 2, which basically we've all agreed and it's been discussed and presented. We have to close at the end of June 2018. And the implications of closing June 2018 are here in this slide. So just trying to be clear with the group about some of the realities of our timeline and producing some recommendations for public consultations, which is required before we can think about integrating anything into the Workstream 2 final report. Thank you. I'll be glad to take any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Bernie. I'll see if there are any comments from any members of the group before I make any comments of my own. Aubrey, please go ahead.
Hi, Aubrey speaking. Quick question. So the implication is that if we don't have a final, a document of recommendations for something by November, will basically take concern for that ability issue off the table?
Well, this
that's for the plenary to decide, Avery. What I'm saying is that that discussion will have to be had at that point.
Thanks, Bernie. Thank you for the question, Aubrey. From my point of view, this is doable. We've put in an awful lot of work up to this point. It is a bit all over the place in a bunch of different documents. The intention is to try to use the list that we're going to next in order to get that more concentrated. I will, redouble my own efforts to try to get more things onto that list. I think we'll need to come up with a clear plan and revise the timeline in our work plan, and we'll need to get focused on particular issues and particular recommendations for those issues. Would really not accept anything other than success, personally. But that's just me. So hopefully we will all pull together. We've had our high points and low points, but hopefully we can make a push to bring our work together and get it done. So I will, by the next call, come up with a timeline for us, and that fits with the timeline that Bernie has gone over. Let's go back to the agenda. Oh, David McCauley, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. David McCauley speaking. Just a quick note. I encourage you to come back to the list, but I think our focus should be on narrowing the issues, and the agenda for this call may provide a way forward. It's possible that this group can come up with recommendations for ICANN on how to handle OFAC inquiries or whatever you call them. It's possible that we could come up with a recommendation for ICANN on governing law clauses and registry and registrar agreements. So it's important to encourage ICANN to come and speak to us quickly, I think. And if we narrow our focus, hopefully we'll do well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. I agree. Caboose, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Hello? May I speak, please? Correct?
Go ahead, Caboose.
Yes. My question is that a reaction to what David said, what type of recommendation we could give to ICANN with respect to the OFAC? I think before that, we have to know how OFAC came to ICANN. Was it informed by the NTIA to ICANN that, yes, you have to implement this political arrangement with respect to the DNS, or ICANN just pick it up itself from the law or whatever there is in that country, and whether ICANN described to the country that difficulties that may happen and maybe non-relevance of OFAC to the DNS, which relates to something else. I would like to know a history of that. And I ask in
well,
the
I
previous...
Can, to tell us that. So I see your suggestions in the chat, and we will get ICANN to tell us.
But the complete report. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Let's go back to the agenda. The next thing on the agenda is to discuss the list of proposed issues. Rather than going to the agenda, we can go to the list of proposed issues, which if you have scroll control. It looks like this is not the best PDF I've ever created. It seems to have cut off all but the first line of each document. I don't know if people can go to the Google Doc. Apologies for this formatting issue. Rather frustrating. So going to the Google Doc list of proposed issues, so we can read more than the first line, I'd like to see if we could have some discussion of basically the first two items together, or each one of them individually. The governing law for registry agreements, and we're talking here about primarily GTLD registries, but we could also deal with CCs. And then governing laws, or lack thereof, for the registrar accreditation agreement. More specifically, there is no choice of jurisdiction for which country's law governs the contract, nor are there any venue choices. So it's an open line. So there are reasons that this is an issue that are stated in the document. The governing law is important in interpreting a contract, and that not stating a governing law gives too much discretion to a court to determine the governing law of the contract. And three, it creates the possibility that different courts will apply different governing laws to the same, essentially, base agreement and interpret the same contract differently as a result. So we'd like to see if there are any agreements, disagreements, additional reasons that this is an issue. So reply, please. I see I've got hands from David and Caboose. I apologize. I can't see what order they're in because I'm on a tablet which doesn't prioritize them. David, I'll turn to you first.
Well, thanks, Greg, but Caboose actually was first.
Thank you, David. Then I'll turn to Caboose first. Caboose, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. I have a question to you as a rapporteur of this group. Who decides that a CCTLD is a property attachment to the particular country or is not a property attachment? Who decides that? Is it the court who decides that? Or it is the ICANN community who decides that? Or ICANN organization?
Or ICANN board? Or ICANN board?
ICANN board decides that? On what authority, ICANN board could decide that it is an attachment, property attachment? Because I have listened to the GNSO with respect to the two-letter country code arguing in pages and pages that the country code two-letter is not a property of any government or any country. How, in one hand, we say that is not, on the other hand, someone, either ICANN or someone else, could say in one case it is attachment, in other case is not attachment. There has been cases that issue was discussed. I think we should reply to this answer, because this is very important. I'm not suggesting anything.
I'm not suggesting anything.
Toulouse, this is item. We're not discussing that issue yet. That is, will fall under item 8, row 8 of our list. We're still on 1 and 2. So if I could ask you to hold that question for the meeting where we discuss that point, that'll help us make progress.
Please kindly take it and keep it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll hold that issue. Let's go back then to David McCauley, please.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley here for the record. And just a brief comment on the substance of this issue on the issues list. That is that the registrar accreditation agreement and the registry agreement, base registry agreement, don't have governing law called out. And I had mixed feelings when I read this because, to me, jurisdiction, which is what we're concerned with, is dealing with the capacity of courts to hear issues, and governing law is actually an application of that. And so this, I read, the fact that there was no governing law called out in these contracts, I viewed as being expansive, an expansive recognition of various jurisdictions around the world. Having said that, I recognize that Annex 12 of the final report identifies one of the layers of jurisdiction for us to consider governing law for contracts with registrars and registries. And so it is within our scope for sure. So what my comment would be is that I believe what we should do is come up with a recommendation to ICANN as to what they should insert for governing law. It need not be the U.S. necessarily. It might be functional of where the registry or the registrar is. But we need to hear from ICANN first. And so I see it as an open issue, and that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, David. That's a good point, and I think it raises a larger point about the list of proposed issues. There are two columns to the right, support for this as an accepted issue, support or opposition to this as an accepted issue. There's also the description of the proposed issue. Without getting too tied up in formalities, it would be good to note in one place, and perhaps in the description of proposed issue, to put in a sentence, on the other hand, there are advantages to having no choice of law listed, or there could be, or there allegedly are. And I think that ICANN itself, in its answer on this question, put forward the proposition that there were good reasons not to have choice of jurisdiction in the contract. So we should tease out the pros and the cons in connection with the issues. Now, of course, this is only the list of proposed issues, and the point of this discussion at this time is first and foremost to decide whether we're accepting this as an issue or rejecting it as an issue and saying it's not for this group to decide because it's not in our remit, or indeed it's not an issue at all and somebody has just misunderstood, or whatever it is, it's, you know, somebody's view but not the group's view that this is an issue. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much in terms of deep discussion of the issues, but rather we want to first separate the wheat from the chaff with regard to proposed issues. Particularly don't want to waste time talking about things that are not in fact going to be considered issues within the remit of this group, by this group. Milton, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a simple question about the spreadsheet. Under governing law for registry agreements, we have a column, reasons this is within our remit, and reasons this is outside our remit, and a second column. And I read the reasons outside our remit, and it seems to me that those are all reasons why it is within our remit, and not reasons it is outside our remit. So I would ask if that's just a mistake, somebody put that in the wrong column, or do I not understand that argument at all?
Thanks, Milton. Good question, and more particularly, I think, a good catch. I think this was, in fact, intended to be in the column on supporting it as an issue related to or within our remit. I think this was written by Raphael Beauregard-Lacroix. I can send him a note and see, but I agree it seems to be misplaced. So I will I'll move that over in that regard. Jeff Newman, I think you were next.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, this is Jeff. Sorry for that noise in the background. I just wanted to point out that they're actually kind of in line with what David was saying. There actually used to be a choice of law provision in the ICANN agreement. This is prior to this latest round and probably prior to 2006 when agreements were starting to be renewed. For example, .biz used to have in its agreement that jurisdiction and jurisdiction, venue, and choice of law all were in Los Angeles in the United States. That it was a conscious decision to not include that choice of law provision going forward because of what David had said, to give it a more expansive view that there could be jurisdiction in other places and to recognize that there are potentially to recognize more of an international nature. So I'm not sure. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it was a purposeful decision to not include a choice of law when it used to be included.
Thanks, Jeff. That's very helpful. I hope that David McCauley heard that, too, because he was in and out of Adobe. Caboose, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, Greg. I think a lot of good questions raised at this meeting. I suggest that yourself or someone or secretariat go through the transcription and pick up all these questions and make a list of them, and we have to reply to them because I see contradictory statement and reply. Someone says that there was no law, there was no reference to any agreement or any applications of the law, and someone says that there was something. I don't know. There are so many things that are not clear. So I would like to know if in the registry agreement there was not such a reference, what we can do in future. And if there has been something which has not been applied, we have to pick it up. If it has been applied by some people in some time, but not by other people the other time, we have also to correct that. So I suggest that someone should go through all these good questions raised by everybody and make a list of the questions and answer, prepare for that in the subsequent meetings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Caboose. We'll make sure to do that. Just to clarify, what Jeff was saying was that in the past, the deep past, when Jeff Newman was just a young neophyte at ICANN, the contract did have a choice of law, and then it was removed. So presumably nobody, no entities are currently signed up to agreements with a choice of law, at least no RAAs or registry agreements that are currently governing have choice of law. So that was a historical note from Jeff Newman way back in 2001. But any other comments? Well, let me ask this question. Is there anybody who believes that item one or two, the lack of governing law and registry agreements, is not an issue that we should deal with in our report and perhaps make recommendations about, or believes that it is not within the remit of this group, without getting into a long discussion of what our remit is or isn't. The question is whether we should, in essence, have our report be silent or indicate that this was raised as a proposed issue but voted down if we decide to do that, or is there generally agreement that this is at least an issue we would deal with without prejudging any recommendations we might make. And if somebody could tell me what order the hands are in, I'd appreciate that.
Jeff, David.
Jeff is first. Dave is second. Yeah. And
we'll use the honor system, at least on. And we'll start with Jeff, Dennis, David, and Milton, anybody else, you know, just keep track of where you are in the hand list. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not going to comment as to whether it's in our remit, but I haven't seen that this is actually an issue. So I'm not sure it needs a solution. I'm not sure it's a problem. But unless someone could point me to where it's actually been a problem, then I'm not convinced it's something we need to tackle.
Thanks, Jeff. I think, you know, it may be that we make no recommendation. Probably still needs to be discussed since it's kind of been put in our remit, in a sense. But I think it's a very good point to see if there are any, have been any actual problems that have been raised as a result of this. We've theorized about problems, that's not unhelpful, but obviously it's much more helpful if we can point to an issue. Let's see. Let's go to the next hand.
David. Great. Thanks. David McCauley here. I think definitionally this is not a matter of jurisdiction. However, I think it is in our remit because of Annex 12, and thus I think the insights that we'll get from ICANN Legal will be very helpful to us. And if Bernie can get us that link, if they've already spoken to it, that would be very, very helpful as well. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Milton, please go ahead.
Yes, I think that it is an issue, but I'm not convinced yet that it's a problem. I'm following Jeff's reasoning here that if indeed it was deliberately, there was a choice of law and it was deliberately removed from the contract with the apparent consent of most registries, we need some evidence that this is actually a problem. I'm not saying it isn't, and I'm also taking into account the fact that most of the registries speaking here are American-based registries, so we would ideally like to hear from non-U.S.-based registries as to whether they think this is a problem. And if they do, I agree with David that it's within our remit to flag this, which, again, does not necessarily mean that I support it as an accepted issue that we need to address, but I think it's something that we need more information about. Thanks.
Thank you, Milton. Tiago, you're next. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Tiago. I would align myself with the comment made by Miller, and I would also say that perhaps we should leave consideration of that particular issue for later in comparison to the consideration of other issues. I think more pressing should be dealt with first. And among the most pressing issues, I think we can easily identify OFAC sanctions as one and the question related to jurisdiction over CCTLDs. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. Certainly, I think at this point we're trying to just decide if things are going to be on the issues list. It seems like there's generally support for this to be on the issues list, even if we decide we don't identify a problem and thereby make no recommendations. We're not going to knock it out of discussion by the group. So we will come back to that. In terms of prioritizing things, I'll take that under advisement. Of course, you know, given our discussion of our timeline, in a sense, there is no later. But on the other hand, if we don't have enough time to deal with certain issues, we do need to prioritize the issues we deal with over the issues we don't. Caboose, I see your head is up.
Yes, Greg. I think the discussion of tonight was very, very useful. We need to continue to improve or complete the issues, the table, and also we need to take on board the question raised and to see whether any of these questions could add something to the table. I think this is a good discussion. In fact, we should have this discussion 1 year ago, but not now. Nevertheless, still we can continue. So I think now we are discussing the subject really, not before. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. So I think we can put these two issues to the side, or at least, you know, move them to the accepted issues list, subject to, without prejudging that we will make recommendations or decide that it's an issue that in the end, you know, creates problems that need to be solved. Any further comments on these points, the governing law in registry and registrar agreements? So we'll try to do as much work on this on the list as possible. The next issues coming up are all the OFAC issues. However, it is 5 minutes before the hour, as I said before, I think we should have kind of fair warning. So I do think that, subject to getting ICANN on the call, we will discuss OFAC on next week's call, hopefully we'll have ICANN there, but we could also discuss it without ICANN. I think it'll be more fruitful to have some of the ICANN background first. So with the 5 minutes that we have left, we have a couple of items, but I see Milton has his hand up. Milton, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to probably completely out of order, but give you some advice, Greg, on making these meetings flow a bit more quickly. I think what happens frequently is that before we actually get to the substance of a meeting, you have three or four agendas which end up consuming half of the call and which are fundamentally administrative matters. It's not clear we need to even do much less spend a lot of time on, but then people get sort of diverted into discussing some of these trivial or administrative things, and then we really make very little progress on what we had hoped the meeting would be about. So is it possible to invert the agenda so that we basically agree on the agenda and we put the substantive stuff first, and some of the more administrative things that could be done perhaps on email?
Thanks, Milton. That's a good note. I think we could essentially treat what is item four on this agenda, the decisions and action items, which I think is kind of the rabbit hole more than anything else, and just either, you know, basically approve it or note it and move along on it or clear it beforehand by email as well, and then just note that it's been dealt with by email. But I agree both that is ministerial and that it seems to create openings for diversion, and try to move to kind of the top item quickly as possible. So I will take that as a helpful note. I love constructive criticism. We'll try that on the next call to get as quickly as possible to the main event, and not have a bunch of administrivia tear up our time. So just to note, with regard to the review of ICANN litigation, we've had one more volunteer to review a litigation. So we have six cases that still are unclaimed. Would really appreciate it if folks could claim those last six cases. We have a number of cases that are still out for analysis. Obviously would appreciate those analyzing them to wrap that up. On the questionnaire responses, we have three questionnaire responses for which we don't have reviews in yet. Two of those were claimed, but quite some time ago. So I'm going to contact those who claimed them and basically give them a last clear chance or a chance to throw it back into the pond, so to speak, and others could pick it up. We also have one which was inadvertently left off of the sign-up sheet, the comment of the EU submitted by Christina Monti. If there's anybody on this call who would like to volunteer to analyze the EU submission and report to the group on it, that would be most appreciated. Anyone? Any volunteers? Caruso, I see your hand is up.
Yes, not volunteer for that, but I want to recommend that before you taking any discussion or considering discussion on OFAC, we need to receive that comprehensive document on the history of OFAC, how it came to ICANN, how it was implemented, what was the situations, what was back and forth between ICANN and TIA. And that must be available 24 hours before your meeting in a written form, otherwise it will be difficult to start discussing OFAC on things. And second thing, those distinguished colleagues or people, they are not concerned about the OFAC. They should allow other people to explain their difficulties. We are part of the same group and the same people and the same family, so we should really allow the people to explain their difficulties. So once again, we need full comprehensive description of the OFAC in ICANN. Thank you.
Caruso, thanks for your comment. I don't think we are going to have, we're not going to ask ICANN to prepare a written agreement, a written statement or history first. We're going to have them come to us and discuss it orally, and then we'll decide if we need a some form of a written statement, and if ICANN is willing to do that. I think it could end up being a big time commitment to go over that as carefully as any, you know, kind of document would need to be done, so I'm concerned about that. So let's go ahead and listen to what ICANN has to say about the history of ICANN and OFAC and decide what more we need after listening to that. We are at the time of AOB. We're also at 4:01. So if anybody has any incredibly pressing AOB, please say so. Otherwise, we will try to get as much work done on the list as possible. I will ask everyone to try to get their issues, their proposed issues, on the list, please. It doesn't mean there are issues, but it does mean that we're going to talk about them. If they're not on the issues list, we can't talk about them. We don't know what they are. And please, if you have any outstanding work product for the group, please submit it. That would be much appreciated. I see a note that let's try to start on time. We can try to start at 3 promptly and not lose those minutes as people assemble. Take the Leon Sanchez approach. I'm happy to do that if people, and I'll warn people that we are not going to straggle in as well. And Jeff, just to answer your question, we are talking about choice of law and venue provisions and agreements with regard to the agreements. That's that. So let us thank you all for the suggestions on how to make these meetings as productive and our hour as productive as possible.
Yeah, Greg,
go ahead.
Before you ending, please, can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, I did not say we asked OFAC. I said we asked ICANN to provide us a comprehensive report on the history of OPAC, asking ICANN, but not OPAC. I'm sorry if you misunderstood me.
I understood that.
You misunderstood me.
No, I understood that correctly. We're not asking ICANN for a written report. We'll ask them to give us their views and their history on the next call.
Why you did not ask ICANN for the report? Why? Please.
That has never been a decision of this group to do so.
What is the problem?
We want to do what we decide to do.
What is the problem?
Please.
Caboose, that's not a request of the group, and I don't see any other support.
We want this question to be answered by ICANN. Why are you resisting, dear Greg? What is your problem to resisting that? What is the difficulty that I can provide that information?
We can discuss that next week. I would think it would probably take them weeks.
Okay. Next week we just talk about. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you all. It's 5 after. We'll stop the recording and adjourn this call. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you.